Welcome to the Wise Money Show with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. Get your questions ready and send them to wisemoney@klbbradio.com. Questions about finances, long-term care, insurance, and everything that goes along with preparing for the next phase of your life. Gar and Leanne Lenander have the answer. Email your questions to wisemoney@klbbradio.com or visit them online at wisemoney-klbb.com. That's wisemoney-klbb.com. And now it's Wise Money on KLBB with Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial Services.
Welcome to Wise Money. This is Leanne Lenander with Garwin Lenander, inviting you to join us now as we cover some very important topics. The one topic we're going to start with is what a lot of people will go through. It's called cataract surgery. Garwin had a cataract removed, and whenever you go in for surgery, there's certain things that people ask you. People from the hospital, people from the clinic, people from when you go in for any kind of a surgical situation, they ask, what is a healthcare directive? And then the next thing we're going to discuss is a durable power of attorney for finance. Those are two things we hear a lot about. But let's start out with the healthcare directive.
Well, the healthcare directive, obviously, and this was one thing I said, well, you're not going to kill me on this, just on the cataract surgery. But they didn't think that was too funny. But they want a copy of your healthcare directive. The healthcare directive really is a formal piece of paper that states what you want in case something goes seriously wrong. Do I want to be resuscitated? I mean, it's pretty simple.
It gets down to lots of basics like that.
A lot of basics. But is it, if you got something really serious and, no, I don't want to be resuscitated if it's going to be, I'm going to wind up in a, you know, vegetative state for the rest of my life. It's really very important. If you haven't done it, it is something you really need to do.
And you can get them through the hospital. There's some online. There's different places to get them, but do have it with your stuff.
It's really not for you. It's really for your family. And that's the thing that's really important is you take that burden off your children or your spouse that this is what I want. It is that vital that you should do it.
Because it's what you want and how you want to be handled, and it's not a guesswork. It really states what you want.
Right. The other durable power of attorney is what, Leanne?
For finance.
Okay, for finance.
This is something you should have in your file, too. Because what it really says is if I become incapacitated and I cannot make a decision regarding my finances, then I am actually saying someone else can make it in place of me. So in other words, if you get hurt some way and you can't take care of your finances, you can go ahead and bring this piece of paper out, and it'll say who will pick up the responsibility of handling your finances. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to give it to them right away, but it means you're going to set up a power of attorney to go in and handle those finances, pay your bills, take care of everything. And that's really, really important if you get disabled in any way. Now, you should have it done by an attorney so that we know it is legal. You go to a bookstore, one of the things that will happen is you get it notarized, but they may not accept it in the particular state you're in. So be sure that when you do something like this, you discuss it with your attorney, and then you keep it available and make that person aware that they will have that power at some point down the line so that it is available. But like I said, you may not want to give it to them at that particular point in time because that means they can go in and handle your finances, and you may not want that right away. It's for the situation of becoming incapacitated. You can't handle your own funds.
But somebody should be made aware, whether it's one of your children or your spouse or who, they should be made aware of it so that they know where it is and how does it work. And they may not want to do it. That's another thing that you may have burdened them with that they may not want to do. So you better ask them before you give them that right, that power.
It's important. You never know when you could get sick, you could have an accident, any number of things. And, for instance, if you have the durable power of attorney and the one becomes incapacitated and you have to look down the line and say, I may have to sell the house, this or that, it gives that individual the right to go ahead and act in your behalf. Generally, you'll give it to the spouse, but then there may be a situation where you'll give it to a child. And if you have 2, 3, 4 children, you may have to decide who of those children you want to deal with it.
And that's always a problem.
And the same with the health care directive.
Right.
You want to be sure you have the right person involved in that situation.
Enough said on this, Leanne.
Okay, let's go on to something else.
We read a lot about what's going on now with earnings season.
Oh, you dumped the book.
Well, that's all right. What is earnings season, Leanne?
We are in the middle of earnings season.
What is it?
And simply what it says is Wall Street comes along and says, how are you doing as a company? So we've been hearing a lot about earnings. The market will react to the earnings that certain companies are coming out with. So in other words, the Wall Street is saying, all right, how well are you doing in your sales? How well are you doing in your growth? What are you doing? Are you meeting the estimates that we give you? And let me tell you, there's a lot of good companies out there that don't always meet their estimates, according to Wall Street, and still do very, very well. But just as an example, Amazon did very, very well. Now, here's a couple of things that they were looking at. They reported sales that had risen by 23%, beating the views. See, there's views or analyst views, and what are they saying? And their earnings rose 28% versus a year earlier. Now, that was really a plus, and all at once Amazon stock really went up. And then you saw Starbucks. Well, they did 17% a quarter, too, and earnings per share had grown. And to 56%, and same store sales grew at 6%. So there's different things that they look at, but they want to know how you're doing on your earnings per share, and they want to know what you're doing with your sales, and then they are making actually judgments as to where they think you should be. And so these big companies say, yes, we might do this, or yes, we will do that. And if they don't meet those expectations and beat them, then the company may see a downfall in their share price right away, but then it can come back. So you have to look at the whole picture when it comes to these different companies.
So one of the things that always drives me up the wall is you look at a company who's had a 10% growth and they had 8% growth or a 15% growth, and the price of their shares of stock fall because they didn't meet their earnings. Though some analyst in New York who probably has never been to the company, but that's what he put down, and so they didn't meet the expectations, so the stock falls for a little bit. Now, it'll come back, but it really is, to me, is so ridiculous, but that's the way it works.
That's the way it works. Those analysts have an important viewpoint, and they're looking to say you better do well, or we're projecting this, or we're projecting that, and are you going to beat it, or are you going to at least make it?
Right.
If you're going to beat it, the stock all ones really will share or store. If you're not going to make it, it'll go down, but then it can come back, especially if they see the company actually is growing and changing.
Right, right.
And
but it didn't meet the expectations
at that particular time.
George Smith in New York, so they dropped the price goes down a little bit.
So you need to look at your companies, and there's things that you have to look at when you're going to buy a stock. Number one, is it a stock that you followed a while and understand? What are their earnings? Are they growing? Do they give dividends? Are the dividends increasing over time? How stable is a company? Then what they're doing here in the U.S., how does that compare to what they're doing outside the country? But understand your company before you start to buy shares in that company. It should be a company you've done research on, and over time, too. Don't just do it by one quarter or a year.
Or listen to the neighbor.
Right. You should really check into it. It's really important that you look at how that stock is doing. Another thing that people ask about is, are all the mutual funds the same? Now, that sounds like a silly question, but it's really not, because a lot of people think, oh, I look at all these mutual funds, they're all the
same. Just pick one. Yeah, just pick one.
But that's not true. The things that you look at in a mutual fund, number one, is it following an index? That's an index fund. And it's following a set kind of an index. It'll follow like the S&P 500 or the Russell 1000. It will follow certain stocks and just move up and down with those stocks. Now, that's an index, and it's not managed. It's mainly those things are on that index, and it'll go up and down. If you run into a mutual fund that is managed, you have a portfolio manager. And that portfolio manager is buying or selling shares of certain companies within certain areas for that portfolio.
He has a direction he's trying, or he, she, or she are trying to follow.
That's right. And those directions will tell he or she, or a group of advisors on that firm in that mutual fund, what kind of stocks they're going to buy. Are they going to buy the great big companies, the big companies that go ahead and declare the earnings, like Microsoft, like McDonald's, like Caterpillar? Those are the really large companies. And so those are the companies that the mutual fund portfolio manager will manage under the big growth companies. Then you have the value companies. The value companies simply means they're undervalued for some reason, so they're cheaper right now. So there you have the growth that are really doing what they should be doing, and they're moving along right along. And then you have the value, which for some reason their stock price is down and they're undervalued, and so they're cheaper right now. Then you have to look at the size of the companies. You have small companies. You have mid-sized companies. You have large companies. And you may also have mutual funds that are what we call blends, where a portfolio manager will go in and say, we're looking at stocks, we're looking at bonds, we're looking at blending these together, and therefore we have balance funds. And with those balance funds, you have the stocks and the bonds, and the portfolio manager will move back and forth and decide where you should be at a certain time. You also have bond funds, and there's different kinds of bond funds. You have treasuries, or you have corporate bond funds. You have global bond funds. There's so many different ways to look at investing that you have to be careful and do some research there, or work with somebody that can give you some help in that area. When you have a 401k or retirement plan, you have lots of choices also. And they will say, do you want to be aggressive? Do you want to be conservative? Do you want to be the middle of the road? And these funds will give you a clue as to how aggressive or conservative they are. So you have to look at your mutual funds carefully and decide where you are going to go. If you want to be really aggressive, then you can get into what we call sector funds, meaning you're just into healthcare or just into technology. There's a lot of different ways to do it. So when you start investing, think about how old you are, how aggressive you want to be, how conservative you want to be, and then the right mix of these mutual funds will work for you. But not every mutual fund is the same as another.
A lot of people were really heavy into the tech funds a few years ago.
In 2000.
They made a lot of money for a while, and then they lost a lot of money.
That was a sector you got to be careful.
Because they were totally locked into the technology funds, and it didn't work out that well. We'd like to thank you for being with us this morning on the Wise Money Show. We're always delighted to answer questions. If you've got a suggestion, we'd like to talk about it. If we're able, there's some things we can't talk about. Give us a call at 651-436-3997.
Or 651-365-5000. Two different numbers. Call either one.
Experience counts. Now more than ever, when it's time to trust your finances to someone else, experience counts. And Lenander Financial Services are financial professionals who specialize in assisting people just like you with personal finance, investments, retirements, insurance, and long-term care planning. Call Garwin and Leanne Lenander at 952-835-4136. That's 952-835-4136. Lenander Financial Advisory. Experience counts.
Thank you for joining us this morning for Wise Money with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. Join Gar and Leanne each Saturday morning at 11:45 for more of the Wise Money Show. Email your questions to Gar and Leanne, and the address is wisemoney@klbbradio.com. That's wisemoney@klbbradio.com. Or visit them online at wisemoney-klbb.com. That's wisemoney-klbb.com. Join us again next Saturday for the Wise Money Show with Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial on Club 1220 KLBB.